And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. I'm talking about this one. I do mean it. I'm talking about Alabama, y'all. This show goes like way down south of Birmingham and up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi. All thrown in just for good measure. We are in the final half hour here. The go-home time is upon us on a Friday afternoon. But I would be remiss if I did not tell you that there's something big coming next week. Pretty stoked about it. On Tuesday night, you guys, it's election night. And I know that there's going to be any number of, you know, places where you can go and get the results. But those of y'all that are Right Side Ruffians, we hope that you will tune in to our new live stream from our new studio. It's going to be myself, JP, Birdman, and Butters all in the Right Side studio commenting on what we see, checking on the results. And you'll have a couple of hours with us plus some guest callers that night. That's Tuesday night, live online from 7:30 to 9:30. And the best place to find it is go to rightsidemedia.org. That's our website, rightsidemedia.org. Or you can stream us on any number of other platforms like YouTube, Rumble, Twitch, Twitter, all the above. So anyway, 7:30 to 9:30 Tuesday night, live stream, election night results with Right Side Media. Check us out. So I'm in this, I'm going to do this last dipper. I'm going for it. I said that today I decided to stage my dippers all on what I believe are the top three things that people are going to the polls about. The first one was the economy. That dipper was called the economic wrecking ball. That's exactly what the Democrats are. They are an economic wrecking ball. And as a key example, I gave you what they have done to the auto industry. The second dipper I had was the immigration nation and what they have done with the southern border, or not done with the southern border, is criminal in my opinion. And it caused a massive amount of strain and discord and a sense of fear in some places and a sense of being overwhelmed in other places. And it shouldn't have to be that way. And it's made us an insecure nation where we basically don't seem to have a border. That's immigration nation, my number two dipper. To the third dipper, I'm calling it the lying liars. And I think what I see, if you lump some of the other things that people say they care about, it relates to a sense of distrust in our federal government. We are sick to death of being lied to. We are sick to death of watching the Democrats literally say something. We watch them say it. We have the audio and we have the video of them saying it. And they will tell us that was not what was said. And I mean, y'all, at some point you have to look at it and go, you're a bunch of lying liars. And we're tired of it. And what I think there's a deep sense right now. The momentum that Trump has is in part because his own base is galvanized. That's true. I think there's also, though, this great movement among those who may not have been enamored of Trump or even voting Republican, who are sick of being in a position of not trusting their own government, of feeling like their government does not have their best interests at heart, of feeling like they have a government that won't even admit when it's done something blatantly wrong. I mean, gone are the days when they will take accountability for something they screwed up. You can't even get Kamala to say it on the campaign trail. Is there anything you'd do different? Why, no. I can't think of a thing. I mean, for the love of God, if her mouth is moving, she appears to be lying. Now there's a couple things that have happened today, and there's one that's happened even in the last couple of days that I got to mention. So the whole garbage thing, right? So Joe Biden comes out and just, you know, throws a grenade in the middle of the Harris-Waltz campaign. Kamala's on the ellipse on the Washington Mall, you know, with the beauty of Washington monuments and the Smithsonian and the Washington, you know, the Capitol building and the White House, all of it all around her, giving a speech to thousands on the Washington Mall, trying to make her closing comments. And somebody let Joe log into Zoom. Holy crap. And Joe gets on Zoom and goes rogue. And told the world that he thought that people who believe in, you know, Trump's side, they're all garbage. Well, that's the president of the United States just denigrating well over half of his constituents. it gets worse. Because you can watch the video and see him say it. You can listen to the video and hear him say it. And then you can go to the official transcript, which is required by law to be kept of any and all official meetings, speeches, whatever. The President of the United States is not allowed to speak in an official capacity without it being recorded. They actually have stenographers and transcripts made of everyone. Court reporters are there typing it in. And they change the transcript to make it look like he didn't say that. It's an ethical violation. It is unheard of. This morning, Dana Perino, I was watching, and some of y'all may remember, Dana Perino was the press secretary for George W. Bush. I rarely see her get this animated. But this morning, if you happen to see it, she and Bill Hemmer are on in the mornings on Fox. She got very animated about this. Says this does not happen. She talked about there was one time when she asked for a correction because someone had heard her say, there's a lot of juice left in the Oval Office, and they wrote down Jews, as in Jewish, and she called them back and said, that is not what I said, and they went and listened to it, and they agreed, and it was a press report, though, that was releasing, and they corrected it, and that's the only time she can ever remember official transcripts, something being recorded. Not in this case. In this case, Karine Jean-Pierre, in this case, they went to the president and talked to him, and the transcript was changed. And by the way, it was changed over the complaints of the stenographer. Ethical violation. And then you got stuff that happened like today. The Washington Post is having a complete meltdown. The Washington Post is in complete meltdown mode right now. I've got a piece here from the Free Beacon. The Free Beacon obtained a copy of the recording that was made of inside of a Washington Post editorial board meeting when the editor was literally telling him, look, if y'all want to quit, you go right ahead. The Washington Post chose not to endorse Kamala Harris. They chose not to endorse anybody. Sometimes not endorsing speaks as loud as endorsing. The Washington Post is known for being an uber-liberal news rag. And their staff is having a complete come apart. So during the meeting, the Washington Free Beacon got a hold of the actual audio recording of the meeting. And they say during the meeting, the paper's opinion columnists and editors exhibiting a high level of distress unloaded on the opinion editor, David Shipley, complaining that Jeff Bezos was destroying the paper's reputation. Do they hear themselves? What they just said is, we're desperate to be biased and you won't let us be biased. That's what they're saying. They want to be, quote, an independent journalistic organization. Well, you're not independent and journalistic if you're having a meltdown because you weren't allowed to pick sides. You just literally declared yourself as being a liar. We're an independent journalistic, but we're very leftist. And we love it. And we admit it. And we get mad and we're not allowed to be it. And the editor finally had to tell him, look, quit if you want to. Whatever you decide, I'm good with it. I just want to impart to you that you don't need to get yourself stuck in the middle here. You need to get to work. So bad that they started having editorial staff quitting. Today it got a little deeper for WAPO. WAPO apparently does a video podcast live stream, and I think it's called the Washington Post Minute, the WAPO Minute, I believe. And Hugh Hewitt, who's a conservative radio guy, syndicated radio show host, Hugh Hewitt was on, and he was just worn out with them. And the host was being extremely smarmy. I mean, he was kind of like a Don Lemon-style guy, just kind of soft touch and yet smarmy while he's talking. And he smarmed on Hugh Hewitt, who finally said, he told him, well, you're always throwing out hateful rhetoric. And Hugh said, I don't do anything like that. And he said, well, if you don't want to, come back, you don't have to. And he goes, you know what? I won't. And he took his headphone off and just got up and walked off the podcast. And they didn't know what to do. Because I'm telling you, people are fed up. People are fed up with the left being a bunch of lying liars. Okay. How about today? How about today when you can go and watch Donald Trump talking about Liz Cheney? That would be the Liz Cheney who has lied about Donald Trump for the last 4 years. That would be the Liz Cheney who co-chaired the January 6th commission and desperately wanted Donald Trump thrown in jail. That would be the Liz Cheney who has endorsed Kamala Harris despite being a longtime Republican, who says anything she wants to about Donald Trump. So Trump got on stage with Tucker Carlson, and he was talking about what he considers Liz Cheney to be a radical war hawk. That's the quote. He calls her a radical war hawk at an event in Arizona. And he said this, he was talking about the wars that she has, you know, pushed for, and that her dad, Dick Cheney, has been a profiteer from Halliburton, making huge money off of war profiteering. And Trump said, let's put her with a rifle standing there with 9 barrels shooting at her, okay? Let's see how she feels about it. You know, when the guns are trained on her face, they're all war hawks. They sit in Washington in a nice building and they say, oh, gee, let's send 10,000 troops into the mouth of the enemy. He was talking about how she sends people to war without a single thought about it. And he suggests that maybe she ought to go try it. Okay, the left is now saying that Trump wants to execute Liz Cheney. So much so that Liz is looking all hangdog and upset, and Kamala Harris is now saying that these were disqualifying statements and that Trump should not be allowed to run for president. Stop it. No one believes you. You're just making a mockery of yourself. You are beclowning yourself. But they're lying liars, and people are ready to see it change. How about this? I'm not even sure I understand how this works, and maybe my tech guy over here might help me. But as part of the lying liars piece, Kamala Harris's campaign was recently caught manipulating their social media platforms. Revealed that they were using what's known as a Discord server that basically sort of directs hordes of volunteers to use their social media accounts to flood in on something and make it appear to be a popular trending thing on social media when it's really not. Do I have that right?
Yeah, so I guess they're kind of called like Discord mods, and there's some accusations that they're paying people to do this to sort of all go and
manipulate the algorithm
and make it seem, you know, make something trending and give the impression more than anything that all these people are, you know, behind what Kamala is saying. You know, the Democrat Party has a history of paying influencers to do that as well. But yeah, it's sort of like manipulating the algorithm to make it prop themselves up organically.
They're sort of astroturfing their campaign a little bit.
Yeah.
They're making it look as if they got fresh grass when they really don't.
Yeah.
This got a big expose here from the Federalist, and it is something to behold. But right now, the lying liars are just, I mean, between the Kamala Harris campaign, the official stuff happening in the White House where they changed transcripts, the left-wing media having complete meltdowns and desperately wanting to be leftist while pretending they're not, and then you got YouTube. Well, pray tell, what did you do, YouTube? Well, YouTube owned by Google, I believe. Am I right in saying that? Joe Rogan did the giant 3-hour podcast with Donald Trump. And now if you go and search, and I know you did this yesterday sitting in the studio, if you go to YouTube and search out Joe Rogan Trump, you don't find it. You can't find it. So Joe Rogan had to go and take the entire thing and upload it to Twitter, X, so that people could see it. It's just unbelievable. Hey, listen, we're out of time. I got to go to a break. I see somebody's on the phone, so we'll come back from this break and we'll take a call. And wow, I mean, lying liars. Here we go. Election day is coming. Can't get here fast enough. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Pulling pins on truth grenades in here. Real quick, the grades are in from John from Huntsville. He says John Wall and Phil both get an A double plus for their equally fantastic performances. However, today's winner is obviously JP with an A triple plus, even though he did mention Nick Saban, but I'll let it slide just this once, he says. And so congratulations on your victory. You'll probably be seeing a text from me around 9 a.m. tomorrow morning.
Look forward to it. I only mentioned Nick Saban once in passing.
But you did sit there wearing an Alabama shirt. Yeah, so what do we say? All right, let me go see what Kareem's got. Kareem's on the line, wants to talk about Liz Cheney. So, Kareem, do you really believe the things that they are saying that he said about Liz Cheney?
No, you know what? I don't, Phil. And at this point, I really don't even care. I mean, nothing that he says, you already know I'm not going to vote for this man.
I do.
But my thing is, you got to really stop telling people that the momentum is in his side and all of that, and he's going to eke it out and he's going to win. Because when it don't happen, they're going to be very, very disappointed. Then they're going to start screaming, oh, it's been stolen, and the Dems did it again, and all of that. All you got to do is watch the things around you. See, in Alabama, it's like you're in the bubble. So you only going to believe what you see right there in front of you. But when you get out, you go places, like just came back from New York, and you're not, and we stopped through North Carolina and stuff like that. This is Harry. I'm telling you, she's going to really beat this man badly.
Let me jump in real quick because we only got like about a minute and a half left before we get to go. But no, I don't believe that though. I really do believe that the momentum, the polls say it. The sense of momentum is there. I think the Harris campaign is stumbling. I'm not saying it's not going to be a close race, but I'm not saying that
he's a drag on the ticket. No matter what he does, he's a drag on everybody's ticket. He's been that way since 2020.
He's a drag on his own ticket.
When that red wave don't happen. You know, just don't say it was stolen. Just let the man go away. I don't want him to go to jail. I want him to go to Mar-a-Lago and watch television. You know, give him some books. Let him play president.
All right. Well, listen, whatever. The bottom line is, I guess we'll see come up. In fact, you might want to even call in on our live feed on Tuesday night on Right Side Media. But I really do believe, I'm pretty comfortable that the momentum right now is on the Republican side. And by the way, if you would, please go tell Stacey Abrams to quit talking about how she lost that election. Got to go, man. Have a great weekend, brother. We'll see you.
You too. Have a great weekend, brother.
See you, buddy. God love him. I mean, he's sticking with his side. You know what? I don't blame him. I don't fault a guy for having his side. But the reality is, everything. And by the way, you can tell by the desperation in the rhetoric from the left right now. You can tell by the way they're melting down. You can tell by the way they're having to crawfish on statements. You can tell by the way they're having to make things up that aren't there. You can tell by the way they're changing transcripts at the White House. You can tell by the way the polls are moving. But I will agree with Kareem on this. It's not over, all right? It's just not. And so if you've got a friend that hasn't voted yet, if you're in an early voting state, if you've got a friend that's not sure how they're going to vote, if you've got a friend that needs a ride to the polls, you just listen, be there for them, take care of it. Because y'all, I'm telling you, I don't think there's been an election in my lifetime, I really don't, that has had as much riding on it. We have got to correct the trajectory that we're on right now. We have got to get this fixed. And I said earlier, and I'm going to go ahead and risk points on Monday's show by saying Bear Bryant's name, but I said in my monologue earlier that Coach Bryant used to say that in every game there is one play that swings the momentum if you can grab hold of it. If you can grab hold of that one momentum swing and play and capitalize on it, you can change the whole game. Tuesday is the swing play. Tuesday is the day when you have to do your part and you have to call your friends, your relatives, your neighbors, your coworkers, your Facebook friends, all of them, and tell them, go to the polls, I don't care where you live, and vote. Exercise that constitutional right that people have died for. That's what we got to do. That's what we got to do. In the meantime, I will tell you this, and I mean it with all sincerity. There are more of us than there are them. God is still on his throne. Stay in the fight. We'll see you Monday.